I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. North Koreans are once again going hungry. The United Nations World Food Program says about a quarter of the population is in need of food this year. But so far, the United States isn't giving aid. It doesn't want to reward Pyongyang's bad behavior. That behavior includes walking away from a nuclear agreement and staging two attacks in South Korea last year. But as the world's Mary Kay Magstead reports, the U.S. and North Korea are starting to talk.
North Korea cannot feed itself, and it's gotten little food aid over the past couple of years, except from China, due to its own belligerent actions. The World Food Program's Asia spokesman, Marcus Pryor, says North Korea is now in crisis.
And our staff now, as the lean season, as it's known, gets deeper, are seeing more and more children admitted to hospitals suffering from acute malnutrition. So we are very concerned, and we continue to urge the international community to support our operation.
The World Food Program's assessment early this year found about 6 million people were either already malnourished or at risk. The WFP is now feeding 3.5 million of them, with other aid agencies helping the rest. So far, the United States has stayed on the sidelines. Washington notes that North Korea says it doesn't have enough money to buy food on the international market, but does have enough money for its nuclear program, its million-man military, and this. Its annual mass games extravaganza, with a cast of 100,000 and a cost of many millions of dollars. This year's mass games just started. Daniel Pinkston, the International Crisis Group's Korea specialist, says while he believes the WFP's assessment, he's a little skeptical of Pyongyang's motives.
I certainly think the North Korean authorities are exaggerating the problem slightly as part of an effort to acquire international aid. Next year is an important year politically for North Korea, and in the context of the transition to the next generation of leadership, the state wants to provide consumer goods to the population to demonstrate that the state is performing well and providing prosperity to its citizens.
Whatever its internal imperatives, the North Korean government is suddenly playing a new game. Last week, North Korea envoy Kim Gae-kwon met for 2 days in New York with U.S. negotiator Stephen Bosworth. Jonathan Pollock of the Brookings Institution just wrote a book on North Korea's nuclear program called No Exit. Pollock says the Obama administration may have decided to re-engage with North Korea for one of the same reasons China stays engaged.
The real Chinese fear, I believe, is if North Korea is truly cornered, they will do something very dangerous that would then quite possibly elicit a retaliation from South Korea, and then envelop Northeast Asia in a crisis yet again that China could not get away from, and the United States would, of course, be directly involved.
The talks last week seemed to bear at least the seeds of future progress. North Korea announced it's willing to go back to the negotiating table without preconditions. It walked away 2.5 years ago. Kim Gae-kwon said as a first step, North Korea would like a peace treaty to end the Korean War. There was only a ceasefire in 1953. Again, Daniel Pinkston.
A peace treaty to end the Korean War, from the North Korean perspective, would trigger other outcomes, including the withdrawal of U.S. forces from South Korea, from Northeast Asia.
Pinkston says that's a non-starter from the U.S. perspective. But even with a food shortage, North Korea is nothing if not ambitious at the negotiating table. It could point to how it's in a position of strength, with a nuclear weapons program, a long-range missile that might be able to hit the U.S. territory of Guam, and a new space station from which they might test it. Still, Pinkston says, talks may yet be able to curb North Korea's nuclear ambitions.
However imperfect it might be, imposing or implementing some types of agreements that slow down the program, that's better than nothing at all. And if there are no constraints and they continue to develop their nuclear weapons, then we could be less secure.
For each side, this may be a time of choosing the least bad option. For the United States, of preventing even worse instability on the Korean Peninsula. For North Korea, coming to the table, at least in part, so more North Koreans have food on the table. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead in Beijing.